comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. You know, today was kind of a special day at Steel Eye Media Network. Steel Eye Media Network is the parent of the Kevin Smith Show. And this was kind of a special day because Steel Eye Media Network was pleased to present the first broadcast on Steel Eye Media Network of Sally Page hosting the show World Awakening Vibrations. Now, this was not the first broadcast of World Awakening Vibrations. She's been on another network, but has come over to Steel Eye Media Network, and we're delighted that she has. And I would like to invite you, if you heard the show today, wonderful. If you didn't, well, it's every week on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at, well, depends on your time zone, of course. Pacific time zone, it's at noon. Central time zone, of course, then would be 2 o'clock. And the Eastern time zone, 3 p.m. So 12 to or 3 in the afternoon on Tuesdays, and you want to join Sally Page for World Awakening Vibrations. I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of insight, you know, if you're into consciousness and raising your vibrational level and manipulating and working with your vibrational level and so forth, then you'll like that show. K-Files, always the K-Files. Every night I mention the K-Files. Why is that? Well, we have new listeners every night, and I want them to know. They're brand new. They haven't been here before, and they don't know. So, new listeners, this is your first time here. You need to know that we publish a free weekly newsletter. It's called K-Files. So if you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, look right in the middle of the page, largest link on the page, says K-Files. Can't miss it. If you click that, and I know it asks for your email address and maybe what country you're in. But anyway, you put that in there, and then click submit. You're going to get immediately an email at that email address that you put in there, and it's got a link for you to click and activate your subscription, and that's it. It's free. It costs you nothing, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to unsubscribe. It comes out every week on we start sending it out on Fridays after the show, and it's always got links to interesting videos. It's got interesting articles. All of it having something to do with our genre, with the genre of this show. The inside scoop on the show, and audience feedback, and always a free download. Sometimes it may be something you can use, sometimes maybe not, but hey, it's free. So subscribe, right? We'll be back right after this. Thank you. right, welcome back. We got a couple of things that I want to deal with tonight. We're going to do our open line show for this week tonight, and it's BYOT. But a couple of things I want to deal with first, and one of them is Facebook. You know, I've got a lot of friends on Facebook, and I keep getting these notices every time you post a message on Facebook for me, you send me a message, I get a notice that I have received a message on Facebook. I cannot log into Facebook. Please don't waste your time sending me information about how to log in. I know all about it. They have me locked out. Okay? They've got me locked out. And they've got me going through this little routine where if I want to, I can log in. Then after I log in, the next thing is I have to prove who I am. And so I have to do one of those CAPTCHA images, you know, the scrambled up letters. And then the next thing after that, they want me to identify. They want me to link, match some pictures with some names. It's not necessarily pictures of people either. They're pictures that you, my friends, have tagged for some reason. Like a tennis racket. And then I've got a list of names over here, and I'm supposed to pick which name goes with that tennis racket. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. This is brainless. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to get back into Facebook. Now, I have sent them. I've been to their support. You know, I know I've gotten all the emails and everything. You know, go to the help page and all. Okay, all right. Did all that. And then there's a form that you fill out. It's, you know, and then you may email it to them. You press submit and tell them what the problem is. I've done that 5 times. I finally got an automated email from them after about 5 weeks. And it said, "We're so sorry you're having problems at Facebook. To reactivate your account, please click this link." I click the link. And I'm thinking, all right, progress, right? CAPTCHA, identify picture, same routine that I wrote in about and told them, look, I can identify myself, but I can't identify these pictures. These guys are brainless, absolutely brainless. Facebook is faceless. If you, and one of the people in my Facebook friends said, "That was kind of rude." I know, I get the messages. I can't get into the Facebook account, but I do get to see the messages. They come to me in email. All right? And that was kind of rude because, you know, faceless. I mean, I'm your friend and I'm here and, you know, and other people are here and we're not faceless. You missed the point, Paul. Facebook is faceless, not the friends. Facebook, the people, I don't think there are people. I think they're cyborgs. They're not real humans that own Facebook because you can't get in touch with them. You cannot get in touch with them. I dare you to get a human at Facebook. You cannot get a real human at Facebook. You can call them and you get an automated thing. And one of them says for support, press 2. You press 2. It says, "Sorry, we don't do phone support." Ah, these guys at Facebook, they're non-existent. They don't exist. They're not human. They are not real. They simply do not exist. And the idea that Facebook is there for you is social networking, so you can be in touch with your friends. But Facebook themselves do not want to be in touch with you. By God, they will not be in touch with you. So I'll never be back in Facebook. However, there is a little bit more human operation going on. It's called MySpace, and I've got a MySpace page. Been there for before I was at Facebook, and I'm still there. I invite you to come over to MySpace, where there are real humans. And perhaps, just perhaps, Facebook will hear this. I warned them I was going to tell their story, and I'm not through yet, faceless. I've got more to tell. You people, no, you robots, you cyborgs at Facebook, you haven't even begun to hear what I'm going to tell. All right. And look, don't bother having your lawyers write to me either, okay? Threatening me for freedom of speech is just not going to get you anywhere. I'm telling the truth. I have freedom of speech to do it. All right. Now, let me ask you a question, folks. Do you remember back around January? You remember in January we were talking about some pictures that had shown up from the SOHO satellite that were just really, really, really intriguing. Pictures that seemed to show objects around the sun. Big, big objects in orbit right up close to the sun. Remember that? Well, we've got something to talk about sort of maybe related to that tonight. And so for that reason, I want to go back. We're going to spin the clock backward. And I want to go back to January of this year when the pictures first started showing up. And the SOHO satellite pictures were showing objects, big objects. Now, for those that are watching on our TV channel, you're seeing one of the photographs, and if, in fact, that is an object, that is a planet-sized object. Up next to the sun, I mean, you do realize that up next to the sun, next to the sun, the Earth looks like the head of a pin. That's a planet-sized object, if it is, in fact, an object. But spokesman for NASA pretty quickly came out and said, oh, no, 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 that's no object. In fact, those are not objects. There were, I think, about at one point about 40 of these things. And they were saying those are not objects. They were saying that those are compression artifacts. Now, if it's a compression artifact, I would point to, for those of you who can see this, would point to the fact that on the upper left side of that little object, well, it's a huge object, but that little dot on the screen, look at the upper left, and you see that it is lighter than the lower right of that object. It is reflecting sunlight. Do artifacts of compression do that? Do you see that it is reflecting sunlight, where it's lighter on the upper left of the object? Do, I ask again, do artifacts of compression reflect light? So is it a real object or is it a compression artifact? And I did some shows on this. Other people did shows about this. There were articles written about it. NASA's response to all of this questioning about this object, or, as they said, compression artifacts, their response to all of this was pretty simple. They just made the pictures go away. They just took them off the website, just made them vanish. It isn't the first time something like that has happened. You see, if they leave the pictures up there, then all kinds of digital photo experts could take a look at this and determine whether or not that's a compression artifact. I'm not a digital photo expert. However, I am not blind, and I can see light reflecting off the upper left of that thing. And I don't think compression artifacts reflect light. In other words, a flaw in the camera process. I don't think it reflects light. That's reflecting light. Or it appears to be. But a digital photo expert could take a look at this and really get down into the photograph and be able to tell us if, in fact, that is a compression artifact. Well, of course, if the photograph has gone missing, that can't happen. And it's not the first time that NASA has made photos disappear. I got a little philosophy about things like that. When there's a black hole in the information, you can bet your assets that's exactly where the truth is being hidden. Let me say that again. For emphasis, he said, when there's a black hole in the information, you can bet your assets that's exactly where the truth is being hidden. So what am I saying? I'm saying there's something about those photographs NASA does not want experts looking at. I'm saying if that were not the case, they would have left them up there. Okay, there's a glitch in the photo. Go ahead and take a look at it. They didn't leave them up there. They're gone. Now there's a black hole in the information. Why? Well, you can bet your assets the truth is being hidden in that black hole. What is it that they were combating? They were combating people saying, hey, look at this. There's a huge object right there next to the sun. And in fact, over a period of days, about 40 huge objects. That's what they were combating. Now, all they had to do was just say, eh, it's compression artifacts, guys. Go ahead and have your experts look at it. No big deal. Instead, the photographs were yanked off the site. They disappeared. What do you think that means? Well, my opinion is that's not compression artifacts. Compression artifacts don't do two things. Compression artifacts don't reflect light. Number two, compression artifacts don't make NASA run and hide. You get my point? Compression artifacts would be no reason for NASA to jerk the photographs off the site. Compression artifacts, if that's what it really was, they ought to leave the pictures up there and say, check it out, folks. Have your experts check it. That's compression artifacts. Nothing to all those stories. Instead, the pictures disappeared. Why? In my opinion, those stories were right on target. Those are objects. In my opinion. Now, my opinion is based on one observation, and that observation is an observation that it appears to me light is reflecting off of the object. It's right up next to the sun, and the side that's next to the sun appears to be reflecting light. And I don't think a compression artifact in digital processing reflects light. I could be wrong, but that's one observation, okay? There's another observation, and it's an observation based not on the photograph, but upon my knowledge of the way people act when they're guilty. And I'm somewhat of an expert on that. As a matter of fact, let's not be modest. I am an expert on that. I truly am an expert on that. A bona fide expert on that. When you're guilty, one of the things you want to do is avoid talking about the thing about which you're guilty. You don't want to discuss it. Because if you get started discussing it, you may reveal your hand. You may reveal something you don't want to reveal. And so you'd rather just change the subject. That's what NASA did. They didn't want to talk about it. They just jerked the photographs off the website, took them away where you can't see them, and took them away where your experts can't see them and review them. They're gone. Into the black hole, they're gone. As an observer of the photograph, it looks like an object to me. As an observer of human nature, as related to people who are guilty of something, in the way they don't want to talk about it, I'd say, my opinion is, those are objects. NASA doesn't want to talk about it. They knew their story about that being compression artifacts was going to be revealed as a scam. Now, could I be wrong about all of this? Absolutely, I could be wrong about all this. Am I? Don't think so. But could I be? Yeah, I could be. Those could be compression artifacts that reflect light. What has all that got to do with the price of tea in China right now? Well, here we go. NASA is getting ready to send a satellite up. They're building this satellite, and they're developing it. It's a car-sized satellite. And by no later than 2018, it is going to plunge into the sun's outer atmosphere for an up-close study of the super hot corona, solar wind, and lethal radiation. Now, this was first recommended. When would you think? Maybe it was... I keep hitting my microphone here. Maybe it was recommended in... We started seeing these things in January around the sun. Maybe by February somebody came up with this, right? January, February, maybe March. No. This was first recommended. Are you ready? Pull up a chair and sit down. This was recommended first in 1958. Why haven't they gotten around to it? Why? Wouldn't take a great deal of expertise to build a satellite and send it over to the sun, have it plunge into the sun, and just take measurements for as long as it lasts. Wouldn't take a great deal of expertise to do that. Sun's a big target. My Lord, if you can hit Mars, you can hit the sun. It's not that hard to hit the sun if you can hit Mars. So why haven't they done it? I want you to think about that. Ask yourself the question, why all this time since 1958, it was recommended then, why have they not done it until now? And it's only actually going to happen in somewhere around 2018. Well, there might be a reason for that. We'll talk about it on the other side of this break. Welcome back. We're talking about these things in orbit around the sun, and then now this satellite that NASA is developing that is going to crash into the sun somewhere around 2018. And I asked this question. This was first recommended in 1958. Now, look, I know that there are lots and lots of folks around the world that think that NASA successfully put men on the moon during the Apollo moon program. There are lots and lots and lots of folks around the world who think they did not and think it was a hoax. Set that aside for a moment. Assume they went to the moon and think about this. Let's just assume they went. If they had the technology to build a rocket, set a capsule on top of it that had three guys in it, send it to the moon, they had the technology to build a satellite that they could send to the sun, which is a lot easier target, and crash into the sun. just with a satellite, and take all kinds of measurements. Now, they had this technology virtually from the beginning of the space program. They could have done it. Why didn't they? What is it about now that makes it more important for us to do this than it is for us to return to the moon? Think about that. We're not going to go back to the moon. We are going to crash into the sun. We're going to send this car-sized satellite over to the sun and crash into the sun. What is there? It was not very important in 1958. We didn't do it. 1959, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, all the way up till 2010, we didn't do it. But in 2010, we canceled our plans to go back to the moon. How about that? We canceled plans to go back to the moon and picked up this idea from 1958 to go crash into the sun. Does something smell just a little bit like fish to you? Maybe not. Maybe it's just my imagination. Maybe I'm just imagining the aroma of fish here. Smells a little fishy to me. In 1965, for sure, they had the ability to do this project that they're going to do. They could have sent this satellite over to the sun and measured radiation and heat and so forth. They could have done it. 1969, when we allegedly landed on the moon, they could have done this project to the sun, and they didn't do it. And in all these decades since, they haven't done it. But here we are in 2010, and we have canceled our plan to go back to the moon. We've canceled it. We're not going back to the moon. But we've reached back into 1958 and grabbed something from 1958 that all of a sudden, it's more important than going to the moon. But those objects in the pictures, those objects are not objects. Those are compression artifacts, you see. Just compression artifacts. And yet, here we are in 2010, canceling the moon and reaching back to 1958 to grab something to go to the sun. What do you think? That's where it stands. And at this point, we're going to open up the telephone lines because I'd like to know what you think about all of this. Plus, it's BYOT. If you don't like that topic, bring your own. And we will talk about whatever is on your mind, as long as it's within our genre. The telephone numbers have appeared on your screen, and for those of you who are listening by radio, computers, iPhones, cell phones, TiVo, or whatever other means, the telephone numbers are these. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, but I do have the flash message. Each and every night, someone from the USA or Canada sends me a flash message, which automatically gets dumped into the trash, and I never see it until after the show. If you're in the USA or Canada, we've got telephones for you. And for those who are outside the USA or Canada, we have a telephone line, but no toll-free line. That's why we have the flash message feature on the website. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Good. Good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, I want to talk about, when Leslie Keene put her book out on You know the response by Jim Oberg that pilots are not reliable witnesses?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. I read it.
Yeah. Well, there's an ongoing, I guess, Leslie Keen.
She posted a response. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to invite all the Kevinites out in the audience, maybe after the show, if you go over there and read some of the comments down below, and if you've seen a UFO or if you've seen something that was not explainable, that to support the people that have seen these things, because there's kind of an ongoing back and forth between you got some of these people that are supporting Jim, and then you got all these other people that are supporting the UFO community, and it's sort of a back and forth ongoing. If you have extra time, I suppose, after the show or something like that.
Yeah. Well, James Oberg is a joke.
Yeah.
He really is a joke. Anybody that takes Oberg seriously needs counseling.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
I've never seen such an idiotic statement as that. If anything, pilots are trained to know what's in the area. They're trained to see, to keep their safety of the passengers, of oncoming things, that statement that he made.
You're sitting in the cockpit and you're flying this thing that has like 300 people in it, and you're traveling at 640 miles an hour, and you're at 37,000 feet, and you're not a good observer of what's around you. How nutty can you get?
So we should get all the Kevinites to herd on over, suit up, ship them up, and move them out. And after the show, or if you're watching, if you're listening on the internet, maybe during the show, you just have to do a little login and verify your email. But anyways, I don't know if you have extra time. I don't know how much good it does to go through getting these little squabbles, but
I don't think it does any. You know, Oberg intentionally never addressed any facts in the book.
No. Yeah.
Intentionally, he skirted the issue. And you have to skirt the issue because these are nailed down, verified facts by people with the highest credentials that are, in her book. And it's not like, is it a question whether they exist? And, it's not a question. The question is whether Oberg's brain exists, not whether UFOs exist.
Yeah, I think he gets off on stirring the pot and... But this time, I think his statement was so ridiculous that I think it's backfired on him, because such a ridiculous statement. He should have come up with something a little bit better than that. But
he talks about his credentials when he was at NASA. He was an office boy at NASA. Okay, he wasn't a fly boy. He wasn't an astronaut. He was a pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Okay, and so he's not an expert on this stuff, and the fact that he was at NASA, look, every janitor who ever worked at NASA can say that they used to work at NASA.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, just 'cause I wanted to pass along, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, well, I wanted to pass along some sort of sad news, and I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but unfortunately, for people in the audience, it's sort of sad that our old friend Wendell Stevens apparently has come today. He's no longer with us. I don't know the details, but my heartfelt I go out to his family, and he put a lot of time and effort into this field. So if there's anybody in the audience that has any memories of Wendell Stevens, share them or something, but I just wanted to pass it along.
I appreciate that. I had not heard that at all. I had no idea. No idea, but I certainly will check into that. And I appreciate you letting us know. And Ryan, thank you for the call. I have to move along. Boy, I tell you what, that's kind of shocking. Even though we know it's coming to all of us sooner or later, it's still kind of shocking and surprising when you hear it. Wendell Stevens, whew, he's been a giant in the UFO community for a long time. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. It is Open Line Live tonight, and that means we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. I've thrown something on the table that I think is quite interesting, curious from an investigative point of view, and that is that NASA is going to do this thing with the sun, and it was first proposed in 1958. They didn't do it all these years. Now they've canceled the moon, and they're hurrying to build this thing for the sun while they tell us those are compression artifacts in those photos. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, my name's Travis from Kansas.
Hi, Travis. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself, sir?
I'm doing very well. What's on your mind?
Well, I was going through the internet the other day. I did a lot of scroll searching, and there's a guy named Tom Peeler that done a 911 call in North Carolina.
Okay. Is this
a Bigfoot in his backyard?
All right.
Do you have any information on that, or is that a hoax, or what was that?
I have no information on that. Is that a recent call, or is that an old call, older call?
It's recent. It was done in August.
Of this year?
Yes.
I had not heard that. If you have a link to that where I can check that out, send that to me. I would love to check it out.
Okay.
Because I had not heard that.
Yeah, I was going through and seeing Bigfoot sightings, and I ran across it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question. Would it surprise you if someday soon, they tell us, hey, Bigfoot's for real? Now, let me ask you something, Travis. Can you hang on through this break? I want to talk to you about this.
Sure.
All right, hang on. Yeah, we'll get back to that right after this break. All right, welcome back. We're talking with Travis from Kansas. Okay, now, Travis, you were talking about you heard this recording of a 911 call in which a guy reports a Bigfoot, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't know where you are on the scale of 1 to 10 with whether Bigfoot exists or not. I don't need to know, but if, say, in a couple of days, there was an announcement on television that, hey, you know what? This Bigfoot thing is for real. We caught one. Here it is, and they show it to you on TV, and it turns out to really be real. It's not a hoax. Would that surprise you?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No. But there's the evidence that's been shown over the years is just too compelling.
Yeah, something's leaving those footprints, and some
ridges and everything.
Mm-hmm. The noises and the footprints and even some hair that has been, they weren't able to identify what that was. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you? Let's say, you know what a bat is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean the animal, not a baseball bat, but the animal, you know, a bat. Okay. If somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, man, I just saw a bat, and it was huge. It had probably a 6-foot wingspan." Would you believe that, or would you say, "Oh, man, that's crazy"?
It's actually possible. They've actually seen like the Mothman. And they said stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you go to YouTube, type in Foxbat, there you'll find a video of these things, and they have 6 foot wingspan, up to 6 foot wingspan. They're huge, and they are bats. But you'll find a video of one of them that a python is trying to kill it and eat it, and the bat wins. It's a fight between the two of them, and the bat wins.
Right. I've actually seen them before.
Yeah.
They kind of look like a fox in the face.
Yeah, well, they do. They actually do look like that. All right, Travis, thanks for the call, man, and send me the link on that 911 call. I'd love to hear it or see the video or whatever it is, because that's something I wasn't familiar with. I'm sorry?
All right.
Okay, thanks. Pardon me, 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. If you need to call me toll-free, you may do so in the USA or Canada. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, but I do have the flash message feature on the website. It's BYOT. We'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. But as long as it's within our genre, of course. But I'm particularly interested in what you think about this sun thing. We have the images that show, apparently, and by apparently I mean, you know, we can see that there's something out there close to the sun. That's what it appears to be. It appears to be reflecting light from the sun. And NASA says, no, no, no. Those are compression artifacts, defects in the photo. And then we cancel the moon, and we're suddenly headed to the sun on a project proposed in 1958 that we could have done this whole time, and it wasn't important enough, but now it is. What's up with that? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from North Carolina.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
That's good.
Thank you.
Listen, you know, it is really funny that these objects have showed up, because I have saved the pictures from SOHO, the ones that they supposedly have disappeared now.
Uh-huh.
And I find it funny that these objects are all of a sudden showing up around our sun. And all of a sudden they have just decided to do away with the photographs. And now they're going to send something to the sun. I mean, I think there's something more going on than a lot of us realize, is what I'm saying.
Well, I suspect that's the case. I don't know, but I suspect that's the case. And part of the reason is this. We were working fast and furious and spending billions of dollars to get back to the moon, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, they canceled going to the moon, and then they reached all the way back to a recommendation from 1958 that they could have built and done all these decades, and they haven't done it. But we cancel going to the moon, have to pay off the contractors, because, you know, you have to buy the contracts out and to cancel it. So you cancel it, pay off the contractors, billions more is being spent, and you get nothing for it. And we reach decades into the past and grab this thing about let's go to the sun. Why? I mean, if it wasn't important since 1958, if it wasn't important enough for us to do it all this time, why is it suddenly important enough for us to do it when we can't, allegedly can't afford to go back to the moon? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. And what I'm wondering is, what are these objects doing around the sun? Are they destroying it or what? I mean, you know, it just...
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it is? You think these things are objects, or do you think these are artifacts of compression, a defect in the photo process? What do you think it is?
Well, I think they're objects because I have studied a lot of the photographs that I have taken and downloaded from SOHO, and some pictures you don't see them, some pictures you do. But like you said, you can see the sun's reflection off a lot of these objects. So to me, that tells me that there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's undeniably.
Well, I think they are objects, but I can't prove it. It's my opinion. I think they are objects because of the reflection. And I think another reason I think they are objects is because NASA doesn't want to talk about it. They took the photographs away instead of just leaving them up there and saying, okay, go on and study them. Have your experts look at them. They are just defects in the pictures and you'll find out. No, no. They took it away. By taking the taking the pictures away, that's like imposing silence on the discussion. Okay.
I agree. But that's what I wanted to say, Kevin. I love your show tonight.
All right. Thanks much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Tony. All right. When you take the pictures away, it doesn't make our questions go away. But what it does is it stops people. Those who saw the pictures can ask questions. Those who didn't see the picture never will enter the stream of asking the questions. Why? Because they don't know to ask the questions. They didn't see the photographs. So it cuts off the discussion down the road, you see. But then here we are, suddenly, we can't go to the moon, but, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to the sun. Huh. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello there, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm doing great this evening, thank you.
Good.
This story about what's happened to those 40 objects or so that were around the sun, are they still there, or what's actually happened?
We don't know. They're not showing us anymore.
Okay. Well, you know what I was wondering? If our sun is, in fact, a gateway to other dimensions or a gateway to other universes, maybe these objects have gone back through them, and maybe by crashing into the sun, maybe they're going after them. Maybe they're hoping to go through the sun's gateway by doing so.
Nassim Haramein, are you familiar with him?
I never heard of him, no.
You should check him out. He is a physicist, and he says that ET, or extraterrestrial UFOs, access our solar system through the sun stargate. If you'll hang on through this break, I'll tell you more about it.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Sorry you missed the first hour, and sorry you have to play catch-up now to try and figure out what it is we've been talking about, but you'll enjoy this second hour, so hang in there. We're talking with Heidi from Manitoba, and Heidi, I had asked you if you knew anything about Nassim Haramein.
No.
And you'd never heard of him. He's a physicist. He says that ET, UFOs, access, or they come into our solar system through the sun's stargate. Giant Earth-sized UFOs have appeared before around the sun and have been monitored and recorded by NASA's Stereo spacecraft. This present giant solar UFO wave, according to this article, which commenced on January 18, 2010, is the most recent of a recurring phenomenon. And Nassim Harriman, it says, may have successfully explained these giant solar UFOs in terms of quantum physics and singularity theory. So he says the sun is a stargate, and I had a conversation with him in which he explained to me his theory that you have a star on one end and a black hole on the other. Mm-hmm. That's what a wormhole is, or a stargate. That's what he says. And he says, so you enter a black hole on one end, you come out through the star on the other, and vice versa. There are people that would think that's nuts. They think that's crazy. But that's what everybody told Wilbur and Orville Wright about flying their airplane, too.
Well, it sounds crazy to send a piece of very expensive equipment, to send it crashing into the sun. I mean, if the sun is just a big ball of fire, why would you want to ruin your equipment by crashing into it?
Well, we have to do that, you see, because it's more important than going to the moon.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but it is.
Yeah. Well, and you know, maybe in 1958, maybe that's when they realized that what this Nassim Harriman was talking about, that maybe it is actually a gateway, and maybe they realized that back then, but maybe at the time it was more of a pressing issue to go to the moon, or maybe, you know, they had to sort of develop their own, you know, rockets and everything else. They had to develop, you know, technology to at least go to the moon before they could even hope to go through the sun, and maybe that's why, you know, it sat on the table for all that time. And maybe these objects, could they, by being here, could they somehow be affecting space and time here on Earth? And maybe by going after them, maybe NASA or whoever is sort of in the know about what's really going on, maybe they're hoping to somehow gain control or somehow reverse what these objects might have done if those objects, in fact, did something that would affect our space and time.
Heidi, do you watch the show, or do you listen to the show?
I watch. Sometimes I watch. Sometimes I listen to it because I get a lot of interference sometimes when I'm trying to listen live, and that. So sometimes I have to listen a day or so later on, or catch a show later.
All right. We just, in this commercial break, just played a commercial where it says, it's got some kind of, you know, weird and distressing music, and it's got some pretty weird visual stuff happening, and it says a lot of people are saying that they feel like time is out of joint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. I get email from people that tell me things like that. And so there may have been something weird done that, you know, kind of jolted our time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Anyway, thank you for the call.
All right.
Yes. Check out Nassim Harriman.
Yes, I certainly shall do so. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. 623-444-5889. Is our number here in the studio. It's our main number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. That's what I get for trying to do it from memory. An old brain, it doesn't remember things very well anymore. So the main number, 623-444-5889, and the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It is BYOT, bring your own topic. But the topic I've thrown on the table is just a question. Just a question. What's up with NASA? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi, Kevin. You sent out on your newsletter something really caught my eye in regards to multimillionaires that are buying up UFO-related websites and such. Could you talk more about that?
Well, yeah, there are two. One's been doing that for a long time, buying up anything having to do with UFOs. And that's Bigelow, Robert Bigelow. That's no secret. He's been out there doing that for a long time. The other one is John Rayo in Tempe, Arizona. And I don't know Bigelow. I do know Rayo.
Do you know of any other millionaires that are buying up UFO real estate like this?
No. I'm sure there probably are some. It's not the first time. Jackie Gleason certainly was a multimillionaire. And Jackie, the entertainer, the comedian, Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason was buying up all the UFO books, reports, papers, reports of investigation, pictures, anything he could get. And he had one of the largest UFO libraries in any private library had. So it's not a new thing.
I guess where I was coming to with this is that if it's just less than 5 millionaires that are getting into all this, maybe it's just a strong interest or passion, but if we see a trend where there's lots of millionaires going into this, it might be something that maybe they would have inside knowledge that something is about to go down or be revealed, and that they just want to cash in on it, I guess. Do you think?
Well, I hadn't given that much thought, actually, what would be the case if a bunch of them went into it. Joe Firmage was into UFO research, and he came out with some pretty bold statements about UFOs, and he was a multimillionaire, and today he's not. So it's pretty risky for people, in that strata to go public. It's pretty risky for them.
I agree. So if we do see an emerging trend where more of them are getting into it, maybe that'll indicate something.
Well, it might. It might. These two guys are so rich that there's really not, all the ridicule in the world, all the pressure in the world is really not going to touch these two guys. There's not much that anybody can do to them. I'm not saying that it would be impossible to bring them down, but it would be so close to impossible that it just wouldn't be worth it. And so they can kind of get out there and do what they want to do. If you're just a millionaire, imagine that, just a millionaire. If you're just a millionaire, you got a lot to risk.
Yep. Yeah, you do, because the moment that you can spend one dime or one penny, you're no longer a millionaire, for one thing.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, Kevin, thanks for the show, and looking forward to hearing what the rest of the other callers have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, John Rayo is the guy that bought the UFO conference that was held out in Laughlin. And it now will be held every year in the Phoenix area. Tempe, Arizona, is a suburb of Phoenix. And so that's where they're going to hold the conference. All I can say is if you go out there, if you go to any kind of anything out there in the summertime, be sure you take lots of ice with you. and you know, drink a lot of water, because I'm going to tell you, it is not a joke when I tell you that it's very much like living in the northern suburbs of hell when you're in the Phoenix area in the summertime. It really is pretty close to what I think that would be like. It is miserably, unbearably hot in the summer. However, once that breaks, and you've got about 6 months there of absolutely paradise weather, and then you got about 6 months of hell on earth. So anyway, that's John Rayo. John Rayo is in the Tempe area, and he bought that conference, and he's got some other stuff he's doing. And as I say, I've met him, I've talked with him. Bigelow, I never met. Never, ever met him. Would love to. Never met him. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tracy from Ontario.
Hello, Tracy.
I'm kind of wondering what our fascination with crashing really expensive equipment is.
I'm kind of wondering if they're really going to crash it.
Well, you know, we sent something to the moon. We won't land anymore, but, you know, we crashed it into there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're trying to crash something into the sun. It's like they're looking for something. I don't think that's a reflection that we see by the sun, because it looks like things that we've seen for the last 2 years, for sure.
Okay, so what you're saying is you don't think it's a flaw in the photograph?
I don't think so.
So you think it is an object?
I think it's an object, or there's a lot of flaws, and if that's what our photography's like, we're not doing very well.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that they actually are going to crash this. I know that is what they say, that they're just going to plunge it into the sun and take data for as long as they can get data from it. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I'm sure that is the official story, and I'm sure they'll follow that storyline and even give us some of the data. Tell us a little bit about it. But what if...
Nice.
What if the sun really is a stargate, like Nassim Harriman says? What if it is? And what if what they're doing is putting something through the sun to the other side of that wormhole, which may be in another universe? What if that's what they're doing? What if they're following those huge solar ET UFOs back through the Stargate?
Well, I'm not sure we have much indication that whatever's coming through is also going back the same way.
Well, we don't know. Obviously, if they came through, you would think they could go back. But maybe not. Maybe it doesn't work that way. And we don't know if they're still around the sun, because NASA took the pictures away. We're not getting the pictures now.
I saw that. Can't see them online either.
Mm-hmm.
They took a lot of them off of YouTube that were there before, too.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Which means, to me, it's too obvious. When they're telling us not to look at something, there's better ways to do it. Just making the stuff disappear is going to, like, make people like me and you and probably the other listeners go, wait a minute, why is it gone? So they're making us question. I really don't understand their path of thinking, because they always leave puzzles for us.
Well, I'll tell you what I think it is. Mm. What I think it is they could not leave the pictures up, because by doing so, their explanation of those being flaws in the pictures would have been proven to be not true. I think that's the case. So they had to get rid of the pictures to cover the lie.
And hoping that we just forget about it.
Yeah, but most people will forget about it, but Kevin's out here and Tracy's out here, and we're not going to forget about it. And, you know, when there's a black hole in the information, that's where the truth is being hidden.
Yeah, that's an alarm bell to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something we need to look at. I thought they were going to Phobos next, one of the moons of Mars.
Apparently we're going to do the sun.
Now we're doing the sun first.
Yeah.
So there's obviously something going on. I'd love to hear what it is.
I think we'll find out what it is, but, you know, I don't know when, but I think we'll find out. And it's, I don't think we're just going to go check the atmosphere on the sun.
No, I don't think so, because we don't have anything that they've told us can even get close enough to hit it and get readings. It should get close and burn up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of a short trip for all this money.
Yeah. Well, and they could have taken that trip since at least since 1961, 62. They had the technology to have sent a satellite to the sun. They could have done it. But here, after all these decades, well, we're not going to the moon, but hey, let's crash the sun.
They're worried about something.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
From it. Thank you.
All right.
Night.
Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll free 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. And I have one here from New Zealand, from Rick. Hi, Kevin. I've been looking at other Soho pictures, and I can find many artifacts, but they look like artifacts. I'm no photographic analysis expert, but I have had eyes all my life, and I can see the differences between the artifacts in the other pictures and these that you're talking about tonight. Come on, NASA. Phone in to Kevin and tell your financiers and employers, the U.S. public, what's really going on. Thanks, Rick, in New Zealand. That's a good point, and I've said it before, too. You've had eyes all your life. When's the last time you saw a cow and let somebody convince you it was a Cadillac? Well, when you look at the photographs that have gone missing, you see the reflection of the sun off of what appears to be an object. You see it reflecting light. Do artifacts, in other words, flaws in photographs, do they reflect light? Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe they do. 623-444-5889. And it's BYOT night. Bring your own topic. Now, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Travis in Kansas called and wanted to talk about this telephone call, a 911 call, where a guy calls 911 and reports a Bigfoot in his yard. And he wanted to know if I knew anything about that. And I don't. It's the first I had heard about it. But you know something, someday, I don't know when, but someday, it is going to be established that these creatures exist. Now, at this point, we don't know if they are in the human line or if they're in the ape line, or if they are some kind of hybrid between the two. We don't know what they are. But it's going to be established sooner or later that they do exist, because there's just, as he said, way too much evidence. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Louis from Connecticut.
Hello, Louis.
Yes, on that, the sun?
Yeah.
My opinion is, if you notice, well, around here in Connecticut, I notice sunrise, before the sun comes up, it's like copper color.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And I notice when the sun sets and it goes to the west, it's copper color, right? And the sun is really bright. I believe that is where, since it may be a wormhole, in the copper color. I believe Planet X or Nibiru, that's where it's going to come through.
You think it's going to come through that wormhole?
Right, because I believe it's not the sun is usually like a little yellow, but I believe, right, the color is like there's something beside the sun in the morning comes up, and it's when the sun sets, okay, when it gets going down towards the west, the whole sky and the clouds become copper color. I believe something is in there with the sun, right? And I believe since it's a wormhole, or it may be a wormhole, that's where Planet X will come out of. And our NASA, I think, is finding that out.
Well, you know, if you're right, and Planet X or Nibiru comes through a wormhole that our sun is part of, it's going to be coming right into our backyard.
Right, and because maybe that is why we see like spaceships or whatever. We seeing stuff coming. Maybe it's watching it. Okay, maybe the things are coming out of there to watch Planet X come out.
Hmm. What do you think about this theory? I've heard this, that Planet X, if you want to call it Planet X, whatever you want to call it, you can call it Gugumbu if you want to, but whatever it is, was discovered in 1983. NASA admitted that and then shut up about it. But what they discovered is more like a gigantic gravel pile in space. It's just a whole bunch of busted up rock. What would you say about that? I've heard that from two or three different people.
I believe that, well, maybe something is coming before Planet X. Yeah, the gravitational pull, yeah, maybe it's pulling that, but there's something behind that. And I just still believe it's going to come through that sun.
Well, you might be right.
But it's reflected. It's two colors, the whole sky. I watched this for two or three years. Like one side facing the east, that's the only part of the sky that used to be copper. Now when the sun comes up from the east, everything is the clouds, everything is copper now. All the clouds. So whatever is coming is closer and closer and closer.
Okay. Well, Louis, we have a break taking over. I have to run. I want to thank you for the call. And, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about this evening. It's Open Line Live, BYOT, bring your own topic. I brought mine, and we've had several people bring their own topics different from mine. And that's okay, because that's what we do on Open Line Live. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, I had a thought about these objects near the sun. If amateur astronomers were to take a picture from opposite ends of the Earth, say somebody in Australia and somebody in North America, and they were to take these pictures simultaneously, then you would have two pictures to establish, and with, let's say, sunspots in there, you could establish a parallax, and so you could establish how far the object would be from the sun, and thus confirm the size of it.
All right, it sounds like a plan. But let me ask you something: would amateur astronomers actually be able to see these objects? Because I mean, you know, we're seeing these through SOHO satellite, which is a multi-million-dollar camera system. which is already up there a very good ways toward the sun. So would amateur astronomers even be able to see these things with their equipment?
Well, I think those who have a coronagraph, and that's just a little disc that might block out all the part of the sun's diameter as you're photographing the coronagraph, or the corona of the sun, the outer layer, the outer gaseous hot mm-hmm. envelope, I think that might be possible.
Well, I wonder about, you know, handling the contrast of the light coming off the sun with the darkness of space and being able to see those objects. Sometimes the contrast is more than, you know, a regular camera can handle.
Yeah, as I say, it would require the use of a coronagraph, so I guess if the astronomers were to have that, it's just a little disc that's suspended in the telescope and that blocks out the disk of the sun, except for, let's say, the outer layer, which is the corona, which mm-hmm. is that hot, gassy layer that you see during eclipses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps at the next eclipse, if there's an eclipse that, well, you couldn't get it simultaneously from both hemispheres, but you might get it simultaneously along the track of the eclipse.
What do you think about... We can't go to the moon, but let's reach back to 1958 and get something we didn't think was important all these decades, and let's go do it. What do you think about that?
Well, I certainly can see that where this would be less expensive. Certainly to send humans to the moon, I guess, would be expensive. I believe they still intend to send robotic craft to the moon, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that humans just that it's especially for Mars. I should think that the humans would be just essential for doing simply because robots can't handle that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
I think NASA. I agree with you. I think they should double the funding. Right. Make NASA tell us all their quote unquote secrets and. And then they should have the funding to do both the robotic and the human missions.
Well, like I've said before, if we can rescue AIG and GM and whoever else we rescued, who else was it? Oh, the banksters. If we can rescue all these people to the tune of $1 trillion, how can Congress even quibble over NASA's budget? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right. 623-444-5889. Do you know what they're calling this mission to the sun? They're calling it Solar Probe Plus. I find that interesting as well. The Solar Probe, I got that. I understand that. Solar Probe, because they're going to send it over there and send it crashing into the sun, so they say. Plus, Solar Probe Plus. Plus what? Solar Probe Plus what? Something's up. Do you remember Elmer Fudd used to say, there's something squay about this? Remember that? He's right. You don't have to be able to look in the pot to see if it's cabbage cooking. You can smell it all over the house. This smells like cabbage. Something's up here. And, you know, those are... It goes back to January. It goes back to January when they said, oh, no, those are just artifacts, flaws in the pictures. And then they took the pictures away. That's not what... So if you're innocent, you don't hide evidence. If you're innocent, you don't hide the evidence. If you're innocent, you may not even know what the evidence is. If you're innocent, you don't hide the evidence. When you start hiding evidence, guess what you are? Guilty. You know. And you're hiding evidence. You know, and so they took the pictures away. I think that's an indicator that they know those are objects. Those are not artifacts in the pictures. Those are objects. Now, can I be proven wrong? You bet I can. Doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. Not very often. But and I'm serious about that. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen. And can I be wrong? Yes, I can be. And do I think I am wrong on that? Well, of course not. If I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't be saying this. When you hide evidence, innocent people don't hide evidence. Guilty people do. So why? What, guilty about what? Well, the only thing related to those photographs they could be guilty about is just not telling the truth about them. We know they're taking the photographs. We know they run the SOHO satellite, and those it's taking photographs. We know that, so there's nothing to be guilty of there. But they said of those things in those photographs, those are compression artifacts. They're flaws in the photographs. And those are not real objects that are there. And then the pictures went away. Why? The only thing you could be guilty of is telling something not true about those objects. Saying that they're not objects. Saying that they're artifacts. You could be guilty of that. You could be guilty of lying about the pictures. And if you leave the evidence where people can get to it, experts, real experts with these digital photographs are going to get to it, and they're going to determine whether it is an artifact or an object. Real experts with that, people who really know that, are going to be able to determine it. Now, you might say, well, I think they are artifacts. Okay. Then let's put the pictures up and let's get the experts to do it. And if they are artifacts, if they are flaws in the photographs, then we'll know. Fair enough. Then we'll know. But when you hide the pictures and you hide the evidence, only the guilty do that. Only the guilty hide evidence. Innocent people, as I said, very often never even know what the evidence is. They know nothing about it. When a black hole develops in the information, as I said earlier, you can bet your assets that's exactly where the truth is being hidden. So when they said those are artifacts, they are not objects, and it was Dr. Joseph Gurman that said it of NASA. When they said that those are artifacts and not objects, that may be true, but if it is, why don't you leave the pictures up and let's see? When you hide the pictures, even if you're not guilty, you make yourself look guilty. Because that's what guilty people do. Guilty people hide the evidence. But now that you took the pictures down, even if you put them back, we can have no confidence now that those pictures are untainted. You see? So, at this point, NASA's painted themselves into the corner of unbelievability with these photographs. They've painted themselves into a corner where it's impossible to believe. If they put the photographs back on the website, there's no reason for us to believe that those are coming pristine back to the website. There's every reason. Their track record, their history of monkeying around with photographs and doctoring photographs, there's every reason to believe that if they put them back on their website, that they have done further damage to truth and veracity. So it's best at this point for them to just leave the pictures off the website. They already have no credibility here, and it's best just to leave that alone. But if, you know, some of you folks at NASA that listen to the show, and I know you do, I know for sure you do, I'm not against NASA. I'm against NASA being dumb. And you when you pull this kind of stuff, it's dumb. It's just stupid. Because even if you're not guilty, you make yourself look guilty. As far as I'm concerned, this action by NASA almost reaches the level of proving the point that those are objects and not artifacts. By making the photographs disappear, by pulling them off the website, that raises this to the level, in my opinion, almost to the level of proving that those are real objects around the sun and not artifacts. And they're huge, folks. If you didn't see the photographs, you need to see the photographs, because the photographs are amazing. When we say huge, we're talking about planet-sized. We're talking about things that are the size of Earth or bigger. Some of them not that big. Some of them, you know, about the size of the United States. Some about the size of the USA and Canada. But some of them are definitely Earth-sized. I mean, that's a pretty dadgum big artifact, don't you think? That's a pretty huge artifact. A flaw in your picture that's as big as the Earth. Pretty big flaw in your picture. And it's reflecting light? I don't think so. But even more interesting is that on the heels of doing this, on the heels of making these photographs disappear, NASA cancels the moon, reaches back to 1958 and says, we're going to crash into the sun. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Gary from Nebraska.
Hello, Gary from Nebraska. Long time, no hear.
Yes, and it's a sad truth for sure. Yeah, I've been listening to the comments and pro and con on the sun and NASA wanting to crash into it. Listen, I got to tell you something. I've been known to have a level of gullibility, but I cannot envision any possibility they could get anywhere near the sun with anything that wouldn't burn up long before it even got close.
Well, you're right. And here's what they say about it. They say that its heat shield is going to allow it to withstand temperatures of up to 1,400 degrees Celsius, which is 2,550 degrees Fahrenheit. It will enter the sun's atmosphere at about 4 million miles from the surface of the sun. Okay? And so...
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's going to just go as far as it can and then burn up. However, how about this scenario? How about this? What if it is a Stargate up there? And what if, and this is a big what if, I understand, a huge what if, but what if it is? And this is all, we expect it will burn up, and this is all so that this whole story is so that when it goes through the Stargate and disappears, they'll just say, it burned up.
Well, Yeah, I guess that's what they would say. Why would they want to say, gee, I wonder where it went?
Yeah.
Why would they say that? That would be saying, gee, we're kind of ignorant, aren't we? And we don't say that.
Well, and listen to what they're going to be studying, okay? They're going to be studying the outer atmosphere of the sun and why it's hotter than the sun's visible surface. Well, you know what? That it's real easy. You take a Zippo lighter and light it or strike a match. The tip of the flame is a lot hotter than the temperature right down at the head of the match. Now, you figure that out, you got the sun figured out. Okay. They're going to do that.
Hmm? I was going to say, I think the tip of the flame on the sun is in the millions of degrees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I think it's a project that is absolutely pointless and beyond belief. We might as well just helicopter money over any place in the world and just drop billions and let it go.
We're doing that, too. We're doing that, too. It's called fiscal responsibility in Congress.
Excellent, isn't it?
Yeah. We're with this thing, we're also going to study what propels the solar wind.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. That's in there.
I didn't know we had tools that good.
Yeah, what propels the solar wind? They're going to study the electromagnetic fields and high energy electrons as well.
Isn't that what the SOHO satellite was doing?
Well, you would think so, and maybe the Large Hadron Collider, and, you know. Gee, this is, as you said, it's senseless.
Yes, and I'm sorry for it. We're all suffering, and they come up with this nonsense. We should fire them all. I wish we could.
Well, and the people that came up with this plan and told NASA to go for it need to be fired.
I would not disagree.
Yeah.
I would not.
Well, Gary,
thank you for your time.
Thank you for the call.
Have a good evening.
All right. Bye. We have a flash message here from the United Kingdom from Davey, and he says, I think NASA are planning to send something crashing into the sun in order to monitor what's en route and around the sun under the guise of science relating to its temperature and so on. There is footage which you might have seen showing objects disappearing into the sun. I think Nassim Harriman is on the right track. On a lighter note, NASA are probably just planning to send those missing 700 boxes of moon tapes crashing into the sun in order for them to stay missing permanently. Many thanks, Davey. Well, Davey, you may not be wrong. You may not be wrong. 700 boxes of tapes from the moon, the most historic missions ever flown, if they actually flew them, and they don't want these tapes around. They've lost them. We lost them. I mean, come on, NASA, have you lost your mind? You lost the moon tapes. Well, I'm not so sure it's a bad thing that NASA's going out of the space business. They're in the Toyota business now, trying to figure out what's wrong with Toyotas, and they're in the mining business, going to rescue the lost miners, and I don't begrudge that. If they have some expertise that can help those people, they should do it. But the point is, they're not in the manned space exploration business. They're out of it, and I don't think they're going to return. I don't care what they say. I don't think they're returning. I think they're out of manned space exploration. Well, we still send people up to the space station. You call that space exploration? It's not. It's space science. It is not exploring space. How many times you got to go around the Earth in that same belt, in that same orbit, before you can say you got it explored? That, you know, they've been doing that now for 20 years. The space station has been up there about 20 years now, something like it, around 20 years. Okay, I'm excited. So how many times do you go around Earth in that orbit and say you're doing space exploration? It's a manned space mission. You may be doing space science. It's not space exploration. They're out of the manned space exploration business. It's over. Stick a fork in it. It's done. But this is pretty weird. The door was slammed shut on manned space exploration just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, when they said, no, we're not going to the moon. They slammed the door shut on manned space exploration. Other nations are doing it, and they will continue to do it. They're going to do manned space exploration. If we don't do it, others are going to anyway. But we're out of the business. It's done. It's over. Now, since we can't afford to go to the moon, now we're going to slam the sun. Unbelievably nonsensical. And the stuff they say they're going to try and explore and discover, you would think by now they would know. But apparently they don't. Apparently they don't know. Oh well. As I have said, when a black hole develops in the information, you can bet your assets that's exactly where the truth is being hidden. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.